The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Well, as always at this time on a Wednesday, we go down to earth on the Hard Shoulder. And it's a pleasure to welcome back Dr. Cara Gustenberg, Senior Fellow in UCD's Environmental Policy Programme. And we want to pick up on the comments from our good friend Evelyn Cusack of Met Éireann that caught my eye, because here she was, winter in, winter out, summer in, summer out, decrying all the alternative weather forecasts, that you cannot make any prediction beyond 6-8 days with any accuracy. It was all hocus pocus. Well, the great Evelyn came out and said, as part of the government's Winter Ready programme, that we could expect more snow in the coming years. And she said that this was due to climate warming. So I have to put it to you, Cara, how do we know this to be true?
Well, Ivan, I was equally surprised at Evelyn Cusack's comments, because Met Éireann has kind of distanced themselves from the whole climate change topic. And Evelyn Cusack in particular has often gone public and saying, oh, we don't know what's going to happen with climate change. I think there was a little bit of misquoting in what Evelyn said. So what she actually said is there is a chance of more snow, even though the climate is warming. And that's because there's more moisture in the atmosphere. So the operative word there is there's a chance. And that's really, when you're talking about climate change, it's all about probabilities and chances and odds. And so there is, she's right, there is a chance of that. And that is simply because we are taking all of the energy that's locked in fossil fuels under the ground. We're pumping it, we're burning it and pumping it into the atmosphere. We're putting more energy in the system and we're putting more water vapor in the system.
Okay, we'll just do that.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. No problem. No problem. Just put it on silent, we're fine. Okay. So you just pick up where you were saying that what's actually happening here, you carry on.
Yeah. So what's actually happening here is we are taking all of the fossil fuels under the ground, we're burning it and pumping that into the atmosphere. We're putting more energy into the atmosphere, and we're also putting more water vapor in the atmosphere, because as our planet is warming up, and it's warmed over 1 degree since pre-industrial times, more water is evaporating from both our water, our oceans, our lakes, our rivers, and from our soil, and that's all going into the atmosphere.
But hold on a second. If it's getting warmer, how can we gonna have the cold of snow?
I know it doesn't make sense to you, Ivan, but you know what happens is there's global warming, so the Earth is warming up, and that is causing climate change. And climate change.
So there's more water in the atmosphere.
Yes,
Water surely means more rain. Why does it mean more snow?
Exactly. For every 1 degree that we warm the Earth, there's another 7% more water vapor in the atmosphere, because that warmer air can hold more.
No, I get it water, that you could have more flooding and more storms, but why would you have more snow?
Well, snow is water too. So that's precipitation. That precipitation has to fall other places. But if it'll fall as rain in warmer places, and it'll fall as snow in colder places. So when the winter is colder, and actually Ireland is very unique in that we're the only part of the world where there's a point just in the North Atlantic where our oceans are cooling instead of warming. Everywhere else in the world, the oceans are warming. And that's perhaps driving some cooler temperatures off our North Atlantic coast. So that could contribute to snow instead of rain.
All right. Now, what are the global, when will we all be dead? Is it 2050? I mean, when will we be burnt alive and barbecued?
Don't sound so pessimistic there, Ivan. Like you sound like me, not
no.
you.
Well, when do I need to set my clock for?
Yeah, well, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is all the scientists of the world that bring together the literature on climate change, often look at 2100 or sometimes 2050 as the kind of benchmark for how things will change. But, I mean, we know now that we've warmed the Earth 1 degree, we've been told that above 1.5 degrees, life gets very unpleasant for many people across the world, and certainly above 2 degrees, life gets very unpleasant for a majority of us in the world. So, you know, we don't have much more time before we start to really see severe impacts of climate change, but already we're starting to see them, even in the form of things like fodder crises and sea level rise and flooding that's happening here in Ireland.
Okay, I do remember, you see, you think you natter away there and I don't listen to anything you say.
I know.
And you said to me that the impact of climate change was going to be most severe, not in Ireland, but in the third world countries.
I'm glad
is that
you
not the case?
Yeah.
Is that not the case?
I am glad you remember that. And I think we're fortunate in Ireland that we aren't in a low-lying island like the Maldives or Tuvalu in the South Pacific, because they will experience the impacts of sea level rise before us. And already you're seeing a migration, a planned migration from places like Tuvalu, where their governments are saying, we know this country will be underwater, and so we have to find land in places like Australia and New Zealand to bring our populations to. So sea level rise in Ireland is happening at a slower pace than other parts of the world, but it is still happening. And we still should be talking about a planned retreat from low-lying areas and coastal areas, because they will be underwater.
So in the context of Ireland, what is our future between now and 2050?
Well, it all depends on what we do or what we don't do. So if everybody adheres to the ambition of the Paris Climate Agreement, we've locked in some impact. So we've locked in some sea level rise that's already happening. There will be increased flooding. There will be a change in our weather. I mean, we're already seeing wetter, stormier winters. So that will already happen. But the severity all depends on how much we reduce fossil fuel use and greenhouse gas emissions between now and then. If we're talking about not doing anything, or not doing enough to stay under that 1.5 or 2 degrees, then the best way I can describe it is the way a climate scientist, Michael Mann, once told me when I asked him what movie represented what the world would look like if we did nothing on climate change. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Road or read the book The Road, but it's kind of an apocalyptic scenario with cannibalism and everything, because ultimately what happens is food shortages. And so if we don't do anything about climate change, we will struggle to grow enough food to feed our population, and then we get into a lot of conflict and issues around food shortages.
But what do you know? The government and the context of Evelyn's remarks was about being winter ready. What do we need to do to prepare ordinary householders as regards this winter and so on, in the context of climate change?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because I grew up in New Orleans, where we used to experience hurricanes every year, and we were always prepared for a hurricane. We always had a kit in our attic that included flashlights, batteries, a radio.
Well, they had the horrendous floods.
Absolutely.
Which killed
Katrina,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katrina. Yeah,
yeah. So we were always prepared that this was an eventuality. We were always ready to evacuate if need be. But I think most importantly, we always had a kit that includes some tin food, some bottled water, flashlights and batteries, as I said before. And it surprised me when I moved to Ireland, because we're very fortunate that we haven't had a lot of natural disasters like places like New Orleans or earthquakes in California or fires. People really aren't prepared. And we saw last winter that, you know, there were shortages in the grocery stores, and people were running out of basic supplies like milk and water. And so I would say, and Matt Aaron is kind of saying in their website and their Be Winter Ready campaign, that we need to prepare this year for more extreme
like
weather.
What?
So we do need to have maybe some bottled water on hand.
Buy a couple new coats or what?
No, I would say bottled water. The one thing that I wasn't prepared for last year was the milk shortages.
Right.
So this year I'll have some powdered
milk.
Would you
go for that almond milk?
I do like a good Irish Kerry milk.
Yeah, oh,
I'm a Kerry girl.
I thought you hated agriculture, but anyway.
No, I don't. I like to eat. So, so I think we need to bring, you know, we need to have some tin food on hand. We need to have some water on hand. Certainly before Hurricane Ophelia, as standard practice, because I grew up in a hurricane town, I actually filled my bathtub with water in case the plumbing went out, and in case I didn't have water to flush my toilets or whatever, I had a reserve of water in my bathtub just in case. So that, you know, that's a good practice to do if there's an impending storm coming.
Even conservation-wise, so I know I understand how it makes sense, but at national level, would that be smart?
Well, it depends on how bad the weather is.
To hell with
everyone
else.
No, but
as
I
long
think
as
if
Cara has water.
I think, you know, if we're looking at damage to pipe infrastructure, it's certainly something to consider.
All right. Okay. Well, it's not the first time that Cara has lectured me about climate change, but this time in the context of being winter ready and what we need to do in terms of the here and now. As always, Dr. Cara Gustenberg, Senior Fellow in UCD's Environmental Policy Programme, thank you for joining us on Down to Earth. And that's our lot on today's programme. My thanks to Mark Simpson, Aisling Moore, Dan Flanagan, Elaine Power and Kira Courtney. Our sound team were Michael Quilligan and Peter Malloy. I will be on the telly tonight, no doubt, more on Brexit and all of that. Off the Ball is next. I'll be back here at 4 o'clock tomorrow for another episode of The Hard Shoulder. Enjoy your evening and thanks for listening.
Great.
Thank you.